Welcome to the Pipeline Podcast, a podcast that features an entertaining and educational discussion on heavy construction. I'm your host, Scott Jennings. I'm a former construction company owner, a professional engineer, and now a full-time consultant for folks just like you, contractors, engineers, project owners, attorneys, you name it. Join me each week to learn something new about construction, engineering, dispute resolution, estimating, scheduling, or who knows what. Off we go. Work safe. I'm Scott Jennings, and today we're discussing two negatives of owning your own construction business. Executive summary. Owning your own construction business, or any business for that matter, it's not all Porsches and Rolexes. It can be a lonely and a rough road. Today we're going to discuss two large potholes in that road. There's plenty more. These were the top two that came to mind. Isn't owning any business tough? Yeah, I would imagine. I haven't owned that many businesses, but I would imagine that owning any business is tough. But there certainly is a different degree of toughness depending on the business you're actually choosing to run. My banker said that there was only one industry more difficult than construction, and that was bars and restaurants. So take it from my banker, I guess. What makes construction number two on the list behind bars and restaurants? All right, I've owned five businesses, and two of them were construction contracting companies. One was a software company and one was an engineering services. And the current business that I'm running is a consulting firm, construction consulting firm. So, you know, looking back, by far, the construction contracting businesses were the toughest. Not even close. Anyway, here are the top two challenges that came to top of mind when I was running the construction businesses. First thing, cash. Cash, cash, cash. Cash is king. I've talked about it in another article. My first year in business, this is related, not related, but my first year in business, we did $140,000 in revenue. And when I exited my company about 10 years later, we were doing about $25 million. I guess the point here is that the bigger that I got, the smaller that the profits became. It just got more difficult. It gets more competitive when you're still in that small range of businesses where there's just a lot of bidders on all the jobs. Generally speaking, doesn't really get easier as you get bigger. The risks just get bigger. The cash flows get more challenging, as they say. The risks are larger, as I stated. And with all this bigger money floating around, it starts to become a volume business. And if you're in a commodity construction company, like you just lay water lines, I don't recommend that. If you're thinking about starting your own business, oh man, we're going to be the best water line layer in the world. Well, you may be good and you may be the best. So you're going to make a smidge more profit than the next guy, perhaps. But if you're in a commodity business like laying water lines, anyone can do that work. You know, go do something more niche maybe or with less people in it. You know, go drive sheet piles or go do soil improvements, things like that that are more niche, if you will. Back on the cash flow thing, I digress there a little bit, but with construction, many projects carry like a 5% retention. If you don't know what retention is, it just means that every time they pay you month after month after month, they constantly hold 5% of your money. That's called retention. And if you're bidding in the construction market, a lot of times you're bidding these jobs with just 5% profit. So for ease of math, you know, if you're doing $1 million job with a 5% retention, that's $50,000. Well, the whole profit on the job is $50,000 or 5%. So pretty much they're holding your profit till the very end of the job. And simply speaking, if they're holding your profit till the end of the job, you're going at a neutral or a negative cash flow the entire way along. So you find yourself in a cyclical motion, if you will, where you're constantly having to get the next job to pay for, you're having to get the next job in order to get money off of that job to finish up the previous job. And it just becomes a cash chase the entire time until you get that one job that gets you over the hump, gets you comfortable. The second thing under cash flow, which is challenging, is change order processing time and the pace of that. When you get change ordered on something, it usually you get a change order because either you've already done the work, so that means the money's already spent, or hey, we want you to do this work, but could you get started before the change order goes through? So that means that not only are you floating cash for just the normal portion of the job, but now you've had $1 million job, they add $100,000, or you have a $40 million job, they add $1 million. A lot of times you'll go forward and do that work without the benefit of having the owner's cash in hand. It is good for the project. It is good for that relationship. However, it's exactly what you are not supposed to do that you read about in the textbook. You know, the textbook business answer is, you know, use the owner's money to perform the owner's work or whatever. And once you get big enough to have a controller or someone, you know, counting all the money for you, they're going to ask you, why in the world are we doing this work? You know, we didn't get paid yet. And most CEOs go, because we have to, because it's necessary. And looking back, it's easy to sit here on the sidelines and say, that should never be the case. You should never do that. Never. But business doesn't work that way. Economics works that way, but business does not work that way. So if you can't get money quick enough in the door, you're having cash flow problems, you're not paying payroll, you're not paying payroll taxes, you're not paying other state and federal taxes, you're not paying for your bond and insurance on time, subs aren't getting paid, they start to walk off the job, union dues come late, big liquidated damages because you didn't pay on time. It starts a death spiral, and that is not a good thing. So cash, cash, cash. The second reason why it's difficult to have your own business is people, people, people. When I had my construction business, I was employing between 1 and 90 people at a time. I even had the payrolls of two other companies at the same time as well. So I had another, I don't know, 50 in there. I don't know how much it was. Maybe it was 25. But either way, it's a lot of people to have to pay on a weekly basis when you're not getting paid on a weekly basis from your clients. So is it the most difficult thing about a business? People? Yeah, it may be the most difficult. Between cash flow and people, those were pretty tough. Profit for my companies wasn't that difficult, but these two items certainly were. Good people, when you have good people, you know, they allow you to open up a second office, to acquire, you know, a good cost plus job in Tacoma where I had a company. You can go on vacation twice a year and hope that most everything is being taken care of while you're gone. You can get thousands of job estimated. You can make great relationships, which are leveraged off of the employees that you have. You get new relationships from your employees. Those are all good things. On the flip side, some of the bad things are you have events like employee A complains about employee B having left too much water on the sink top down the hall in the bathroom. Well, why is this my problem as the owner? Well, it's your problem because now you have two employees feuding and one of them calls the cops, and then you have a police report in your office on water on a sink top. Embezzlement, always a fun subject to talk about. If you think you're not getting embezzled from right now, you are getting embezzled from right now at some level. It may be someone takes a pencil. It may be that someone has taken tens of thousands of dollars from you down at the local fuel depot to put fuel in friends' vehicles and boats. You might have lawsuits filed against you for unlawful termination, which clearly weren't justified, but might as well sue the person who has their name on the side of all this gear, on the pickup trucks and the containers and the dump trucks, etc. So you tend to wear a bullseye on your back at times when your name is all over large assets. So maybe that's some advice right there, is don't advertise yourself too well. Just stay under the radar. The other one that I always love was employees who wouldn't get the job done quite on time because of they just didn't get to it. It didn't get done. They weren't able to complete it. Something got in the way. And then you're up all night finishing that task when other things aren't done. So when you own a business, you pretty much have to be able to function in just about all seats in the company. And when something doesn't get done, you got to be able to hop in and get it done at whatever hour of night and through the night and into the morning it has to be done. My story, well, if you couldn't tell, a lot of that, all of that was my story. All those things happened to me when I had my construction businesses. And I put in the article that I wrote here that, you know, up in the second paragraph, I think, there's a phrase I use called full of challenges. You know, the owning a business is full of challenges. That always sounds to me, I hate when I hear that. It always sounds to me like an academic phrase, like someone who hasn't just, you know, had their you-know-what's knocked in the dirt. That's what owning a business is like. Full of challenges is one way to put it. Dumpster fire is another way to put it. A constant dumpster fire if controls aren't in place. Even with the best controls in place and the best people, you're always going to have problems. And getting through those problems is what can make work very satisfying and can lead to making a lot of money if that's your measure of success. But it can be a very stressful thing. If you look at, say, George Bush and President Obama, when they came through, when they started in their terms as president, I don't think either of them had gray hair, but you look at Obama now and he's got all gray hair. I think the same thing happened with Bush. It seems to happen with every president that stress really takes a toll on you. And if you look at me, I had more hair when I started my business, and it was certainly less gray than it is now. All the hair that I have is pretty much gray. I'd like to say salt and pepper, but not really. Anyway, my family also, it took a toll on my family as well. My personality was noticeably changed. I went from being a pretty even-keeled guy to never being relaxed, rarely calm, often stressed to an unhealthy level at the, you know, during the vast majority of each day and at each waking hour of each day, 7 days a week. So it can really take a toll, especially when you run into tough times. My business started in the Great Recession, or whatever it was called, in 07 or 08, and that was always tough to bounce back from. If you started a business right there at the beginning of COVID, I'm sure that was very similar to the Great Recession back in 08 or whatever it was. So good luck to you. Owning a business, do I regret it? No, I don't regret it. Not for a second, believe it or not. I wouldn't do it again. I wouldn't have a construction business at this age. I'm 53 now. I have a business now, and I do enjoy it, and I don't regret having a construction business, which probably took a couple years off my life. It was a great experience, and probably the top two things about owning your business, maybe that's another article. Work safe. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Pipeline Podcast with me, Scott Jennings, your host. Thank you for sharing a few minutes of your day with me. I hope you learned something, or at least you enjoyed the podcast. I hope you'll recommend us to a friend. With hundreds of construction and engineering projects under my belt, from coast to coast and in Hawaii, I'm equipped, my company's equipped, to assist you in matters of claim preparation and support, scheduling, professional engineering, pre-con services, project management, litigation support, you name it. Find me at sjcivil.com. That's sjcivil.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again next week. Work safe.